let's go to the Buffalo Bills, who again got railroaded in a way that they're just, it just doesn't happen in that game. It's the first time where I think maybe if you wanted to nitpick about their decisions at wide receiver, you could, right? Shakir makes one play on a busted play where Josh Allen throws a ball across his body halfway out of bounds that most human beings can't do, right? So they pick up a 50-yard chunk play there on a busted play. That's it for downfield passing attack the entire game. Defensively, they don't know. They didn't blitz that much. Like, they didn't go to their heavy personnel. They just kind of stayed light and got run all over. And Baltimore can do that to people. And the Texans, to me, Baldy, all season long, even when they've won games, have kind of left me wanting a little bit more. Well, like, they don't seem to have a killer instinct. Like, they don't seem to know who they are, which is right now your quarterback probably needs to throw it 45 times early and often, and you need to build up a big lead.
Well, here's a couple things, Jason. So I'm watching the game against Jacksonville, you know, and I'm seeing one penalty after another, especially on the offensive line.
Tunsil, what happened to Tunsil?
Okay, so he went out of the game, and the rookie from Notre Dame came in for a while. But, like, the penalties on the left side, Kenyon Green and Tunsil, like, they were constantly eliminating big plays. And you look at Houston right now, they're a 20-point offense, Jason. Yeah. They should be better. Nico is all-world. Diggs has his role. It's not anything close to Nico. Nico's to go. They play without Tank Dell. They miss Joe Mixon a lot. Haven't been out there. And so they're just cobbling that running back position together. But they're the most penalized team in the league. The most. Like, that doesn't sound like something that would sit real well with that coach. You know, he just doesn't seem like a guy that's going to allow that to happen.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if it's going to stop, but it's really – like, Jacksonville could have easily won the game. They couldn't score from the one-yard line again. They could have gone up 10 to start the fourth quarter, and maybe it would have been a little more tougher. You know, they played poorly in Minnesota. Like, the penalties are really hurting this team right now. And defensively, they're good, but you would have thought with Danielle Hunter and, you know, what they have, Will Anderson, you would have thought they would be better at pressure taken away, and they really haven't been. You know, if Trevor Lawrence could hit Brian Thomas in a go route, just one of them, they'd probably run away with that game. Like, he missed three of them to Brian Thomas. So, you know, I feel like Buffalo could get back on track here. Mm-hmm. They got to play their style of football, though. And Houston has to just, I mean, honestly, they're their own worst enemy right now. They're a better team than 20 points a game. That's what they are right now.
Yeah, I just feel like they lack a cutting edge and a killer instinct on both sides of the ball. And when they've had chances to establish themselves as the better football team in a lot of these games, they just – even the Chicago Bears game, where that game – I mean, they hang around. They didn't want to take deep shots. Or not even deep shots. Okay, against that defense, but intermediate shots. Like, they just didn't seem like they wanted to strut their stuff and put them away. And now the longer that goes, you start to say – CJ Stroud at home, you could pencil him in for 300 passing yards, right?
He would have 300 last week, Jason, if not for the penalties.
He still went over 300.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like he's going to throw for, like, I don't think they're going to run the ball in the Buffalo Bills. Like, I don't think they can really run the ball right now. And I think,
I don't know what Joe Mixon's status is. Is he out?
Right. I mean, so I haven't played this game. I have bet those other games, as I told you. I'm always upfront about what I've played and what's a lean. I lean to the under here. Houston 8-3 to the under at home since the start of last season. Those games average 43.6 points. Buffalo on the road 7-3 to the under since the start of last season. So we got under trends on both sides. I think the Buffalo Bills reestablish James Cook here. Like, if you would have told me the Buffalo Bills are going to go to Baltimore and James Cook's only going to touch the ball 10 times, I would have said you're out of your mind. But that's what happened. Game flow and things got away from them. Right,
he's too good of a back.
Yeah, so they'll run it through him. I think Josh Allen will take off and run on this offense a few times, but that's bleeding time off the clock. So I lean under, and I'm with you. If you made me pick a side here, I would take the Buffalo Bills. I think this is a spot for them to show that they're for real, and I've got some concerns. Excuse me, about Houston right now. A final game of the week, Baldy, and this to me is going to be an old-school slobber knocker. The Denver Broncos off of that victory over the Jets, which it was flawed. I mean, what did Bo Nix throw for, 83 yards or something 60. Like that? I mean,
60 total yards.
Yeah, so there's that. And everybody always seemingly wants to write the Raiders off and always wants to write Antonio Pierce off. And I get it. He does things a little differently, and he calling guys out and business decisions. We can say what we want.
Well,
but the man is now 9-3-1 against the spread as an NFL head coach, which makes him very popular with my wallet and in my house.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, I'll be it. Cleveland is a flawed team.
Yes.
But without Max Crosby last week, that defense played lights out hard. They were Adam Butler was possessed. Christian Wilkins, Tyree Wilson, guys that, you know, Snowden, some of these guys that nobody knows about, like Janarius Robinson, they played their asses off in that game. They harassed to the final play, the final fourth down attempt by Deshaun Watson that he never got off. They harassed him all game. And, you know, they're playing this Jackson Powers Johnson at left guard, and they look decent up front right now. They ran the ball a little bit better. The Raiders, they rallied around that coach last week. There's no question about it. And they played with the spirit that Max Crosby plays with. Like, I believe that's who they are, and they have to play that way. Very emotional, very, like, spirited. I think they'll give Denver everything they have. Denver's offense isn't very good. Bo Nix, like, if he doesn't turn it over like last week, they have a chance to win it. Defensively, they are very sound, and they are very good. They're a very talented defense. They really don't have weaknesses anywhere. The secondary is outstanding. The only thing they gave up last week was a couple of, you know, defensive pass interference penalties by Riley Moss, but he's still a really good player. So they played a kid, Sternab, at middle linebacker for Alex Singleton. I knew nothing about the kid. All I know is the kid just made one tackle after another, which tells me they get the next guy ready to go. And that's a credit to Vance. This 35, like, I can't see this thing hitting 35. I mean, this looks like a field goal game. You know, if it snows, it won't, you know what I mean? Like, it's Denver and first week in October, who knows? But I just feel like this thing is going to be 13-10, 16-13, 16-14. It's going to be right there.
I'm totally with you, Baldy. Before I get to why, just strategically, does Vance Joseph need to blitz this team as much as he's been blitzing other people, as much as he blitzed Aaron Rodgers? Does he need to go that route to bottle up a Raiders team that, let's face it, Davante Adams isn't playing? They haven't got the ball to Bowers the last few weeks like I thought they would have, and they've really struggled to run the football.
Well, I'm curious. I mean, I'm a huge Patrick Surtain fan. Like, you can't get the smile off Patrick Surtain's face. He's just a happy kid, and he loves to play. But I kind of feel like Vance says, hey, Pat, you want this Bowers kid? You want this rookie? Mm. Like, I know he's 245 pounds. Yeah. But I think you can play it. Like, it won't surprise me to see them have some sort of a, you know, the old basketball thing, Jason, a box and one, and just let Surtain go with him. Because I don't know that you have to worry about Jacoby Myers or Trey Tucker, some of these guys. I know Tucker can run, but I don't know. Like, Bowers looks like it's pretty quickly going, the offense is going through him. I don't know if they – you know, the only thing I'd say about the blitzing thing, Jason, is, you know, they hit Aaron Rodgers 15 times last week. You know, and they sacked him five or six times. You know, I mean, it's a pretty good formula. If they're not picking it up and you're chasing the quarterback and maybe you force him into a mistake, like, why wouldn't you if you feel like you can cover your back end on that?
Yeah. Again, if you're a new school you know, NFL fan, and you love points and you love fantasy football, this is not the game for you. But I will be intrigued by it, because whoever wins it is going to have a little bit of momentum and, you know, all of a sudden is going to start feeling viable as we head towards Halloween, right? Like, they're going to feel like, hey, everything's in front of us. I have bet this game. I've bet this game more than one time, and I've consistently bet the under. You could have got it.
Here, Jason, have the Raiders won 8 in a row? Do you have that stat?
Yes. The Raiders have won 8 in a row against Denver. They've won 10 of the last 11 against Denver. The Raiders are 12-1 against the spread, their last 13 meetings against Denver. Wow. They've absolutely positively had their number. Denver's 3-13 against the spread since 2016 against the Raiders. 11 of their last 16 meetings between these teams, though, Baldy, have gone under. Seven of their last 13 meetings have gone under 37, where this thing opened. The look ahead was 39.5. Yeah, there's strong trends to the under here. Like that's where I am on this game in general. I'm with you. I think it could be 13-12, you know, 17-14, maybe, probably more like 17-13. I don't think there's going to be many touchdowns. Denver's allowing 13.8 points per game. The Raiders, since Antonio Pierce took over in the middle of last season, allow 18.5 points per game. And if you think this number's low, and it is, since 2020, NFL games that closed at 37 or less have gone 73% to the under. So the rule is, if it's set that low, it probably ain't low enough. Yeah. Like it probably ain't low enough. So I'm with you. I'm on the under there. Where are you this weekend, Baldy?
I'm in Cincinnati. I'm in jungle.
Oh boy.
I've gotten to know Derrick Henry over the years. I hope he's out there on the field before the game. I actually just want to have somebody snap a picture of me with Derrick so people can understand
how large this man is.
Yeah. And the presence that he presents. First of all, he's the world's nicest guy. Mm-hmm. Treats everybody the same. Like, he's just a wonderful, wonderful person. But when I look at a running back eye to eye, and I think sometimes he's bigger than me, I just want people to realize this is a defensive end in a world-class speed body. Like, it's just – there's nobody else that we've ever seen quite like it.
Yeah, don't forget about Justice Hill also.
Don't think about Justice Hill. Like, I did his games when he was at Oklahoma State. In that year that he went to the combine, he was the fastest back at the combine. Like, he ran to the 4.3s. He's got a burst. They never really used him much. I know he was injured a couple years. But they really got a role for him right now. And, you know, and he's an explosive back. He was the best back in the Big 12, his last year there at Oklahoma State. And so people kind of forget about it because he's been on the shelf a little bit. But he's kind of emerging this year. To credit to the Ravens for just being really patient with him, Jay. Is this his fourth year? I think it's his fourth
or fifth year. He's now on his third contract with them. They just extended him again last year. So this has got to be – I think he might have been the 2019 draft or 20.
I'll tell you in one second.
Yeah.
I just want to know. Justice Hill was the 19 draft.
Yeah.
Fourth round, 2019. So here he is. He's in his sixth year.
If this is an over game and they have to go hurry up in 2 minute and chase points, he's the guy. And all year long, I've been going Justice Hill props over receptions and over scrimmage yards. And they're going to, the numbers came up this week because of what he did last week and everybody noticed, but it still won't scare me off it. He's going to catch five balls in this game. Okay. So that's just another little, I would jump that.